Well, we're looking through Paul's first letter to the Christians at Thessalonica. And now we're in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, I'm only going to look at the first two verses, and I'll tell you why. It's because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it talks about the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord, I must admit, I don't think I've ever heard any teaching on this at all. Certainly not a Sunday sermon. It's really a Bible study message in the week time. But would you turn to the first two verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'll just read the first two verses. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now we leave it there. The day of the Lord. I want to focus on that tonight. The day of the Lord. What is it? Is it one day? Or is it a period of time? Well, the term day of the Lord covers a period of time. It may cover maybe a few years. And it comes in two or three stages. It covers the time after the rapture of the church. Let's start there. And there will be then a rapid development of apostasy in the remaining Christendom. And so this day of the Lord will follow the rapture and the resurrection of the church. And this, as you know, we're looking at. Don't be confused with another term. Well, another two terms. This one is the day of the Lord. Don't confuse that with the day of Christ or the day of God. They're both very different. There's the day of Christ, there's the day of the Lord, and the day of God, and they're all different. Now, the day of the Lord comes particularly after the church has been taken to be with the Lord. And these terrible events take place upon the earth. And we have been looking through 1 Thessalonians 4, where the mention of the rapture and resurrection of the church. But interesting that if you have a look at 2 Thessalonians just for a moment, 2 Thessalonians just for a moment, and chapter 2, and this is what follows after the church has been taken to be with the Lord. And he reminds us, chapter 2, let's look from verses 1 onwards. Second letter of Paul to the Thessalonian Christians, chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1 for a while. Now we ask you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, the Lord coming for the church, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by the word or by letter, as if from us. As though the day of Christ had come, or the day of the Lord, that should be. Day of the Lord had come. Now, what had happened here? Well, apparently, some false teacher has sent a letter to these Christians saying that they were being left behind to go through the Great Tribulation. And the Apostle Paul was very quick to certify that that would never be the case. And they shouldn't be troubled by this lying letter. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come. That means the day of the Lord will not come unless the falling away comes first. Now that word there is not falling away into apostasy, but it means in the Greek the snatching up of the church to be with the Lord. Now I won't go into that now. And then the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition against God. You can see that in verse 4. So what we're dealing with here is the day of the Lord, which follows the Lord coming for the true church. So it covers a period of time. After the rapture and resurrection of the true church, there develops very rapidly increasing apostasy, false teaching. And when you think of these 3 days in Scripture, I know it can be very confusing. The day of Christ is the one time in one day when the Lord comes to the church. The day of the Lord covers a period of time after that. That includes the Great Tribulation, the rising up of the Antichrist, the false prophet, things going wrong among the nations and so on. That'll cover a period of time. The day of God, which is in 2 Peter, is a time when God completely wraps up this whole earth and around surrounding, I suppose, universe, and he creates a new heaven and a new earth. That's the day of God. That's in Peter, 2 Peter. So what we're dealing with here is the day of the Lord. Now, let's expand this a bit more. Look back in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians again. Chapter 5 again. And let's read on after verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning of verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. That's after the rapture and the tribulation. A sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, talking to fellow Christians, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. No, we won't be here. You are all sons of light, verse 5, and sons of the day. You are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober, be serious. The Lord's coming for us. So let's notice verse 9, important verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, great tribulation, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the final part of our salvation, when we're with the Lord. We're saved now. Our final part of the salvation is when the Lord comes to the church. So we shall not see all the events after that. The Lord is coming to take us home before the tribulation begins. So this term, the day of the Lord, covers no doubt many years. It follows the apostasy. It follows a time when the Antichrist will be revealed as well. And we're in heaven at this time. We're waiting for the Bema throne. We're waiting for the marriage of the Lamb. We're all in heaven by that time. So the day of Christ coming for the church must precede the day of the Lord. That's important. Day of Christ, when he comes for us, must be before the day of the Lord, which is his judgment time in the great tribulation. The book of Revelation makes that very clear indeed. So, this particular day of the Lord is not a very pleasant time. It relates very much to the judgment of God upon the Gentile nations that reject him and are rebellious. At the same time, the Lord will save a remnant of the nation of Israel during that awful time to come. So, two things. One, the destruction of the Gentile world domination, which has been going on for a couple of thousand years or more. That's the first one. The other one, of course, is the saving of a remnant of the nation of Israel to become the Messiah's nation. Now, in the growing apostasy which will happen after the church, we know that the image of the beast is set up in the temple and people are called to worship him. And Jeremiah calls this the day of Jacob's trouble in chapter 30, verse 7 of Jeremiah. The day of Jacob's trouble. Trouble for Israel. The church won't be here, but Israel will be, and the nations as well. So in that growing apostasy, the Antichrist will, with the false prophet, the temple will be rebuilt. This is all in the time of the day of the Lord, by the way. It's all part of it. We shan't be here. And the temple will be rebuilt at some time. They're all being prepared for that now. It may happen during the early part of the tribulation, possibly. We don't know about that. So that will happen. And this is, in fact, I won't deal with this too much now, but this, all these events will take place in what Daniel called, chapter 9, the 70 weeks of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel, 70th week, a week of 7 years, a heptad of years. So the last 7 years are the years of the Great Tribulation. I now rush through that. So there's two different purposes. The Lord coming first for the church. Secondly, there'll be the destruction of the nations of the earth when the Lord comes back. We know that Israel will be deceived by the Antichrist. We know that. So that is all part of the day of Jacob's trouble. Trouble for Israel when the Antichrist demands worship and the false prophet sets up the image of the beast in the rebuilt temple and demand that all people worship it. If you don't, you lose your life. Look, Nebuchadnezzar, back in Daniel. So Jeremiah 30, verse 7, the day of Jacob's trouble, is a day of judgment and the wrath of God. The day of the Lord's judgment. The day of the Lord is not a good thing. The church won't be here. The day of the Lord is his judgment against the Gentile nations and upon Israel, and to call a remnant of Israel back to repentance and fellowship. In other words, it's God's great rescue act on part of Israel. And they will become Messiah's nation in the millennium. So all these things happen. It's the day of the Lord. The day of Jacob's trouble. It's a period of time, not 24 hours. A period of time over the years. So we've got here the fact that the temple will be rebuilt in that time. Antichrist comes up. He makes a 7-year covenant with the nation of Israel. That's in Daniel and in other parts as well. And I'd like you just for a moment, we leave 1 Thessalonians and go back to Mark's Gospel. Would you go back to Mark's Gospel, please? And chapter 13. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. Now, this is the period that John Mark writes about the Great Tribulation time and the period there. In Mark chapter 13, if you find it, please. And verse 14, from 14 to 20. The words of Jesus about the Great Tribulation time and the detail. Mark 13, verse 14 to 20. But when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that's the setting up of the image in the temple as an abomination to God, standing where it ought not to be, that's in the temple, let the reader understand, the Jewish people will, then let those who are in Judea, around Jerusalem, flee to the mountains. Get out. Go to Petra. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to the house, nor enter and take anything out of the house. Urgent mood, get out. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his garment. Verse 16. Woe to those who are pregnant and nursing mothers in those days that can't travel fast. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter. Now that's important. I've been to Petra. Some of you may have been to Petra. In the wintertime, the whole place there up in the mountains gets absolutely snowed up. And these Jewish people will flee to Petra. And the Lord says, pray, it's not going to be in the wintertime. It's going to be snow there. You won't get in. So that's all very truthful, isn't it? Then in verse 19, he says, in those days there will be tribulation such as not been from the beginning of creation, which God created until this time and ever shall be. And unless the Lord has shortened those days, verse 20, no flesh will be saved, but for the elect's sake, that's Israel. When he chose, whom he chose, he shortened the days. I'll leave it there and won't go any further. Very important part of the teaching of the Lord Jesus about the future times of the Great Tribulation period in verse 19. You've got that. Now, would you go right to the very last book, Revelation 12? Would you do that, please? And we're getting about a bit, aren't we, tonight? Revelation chapter 12, if you will. And look at one verse. Verse 14. This is when the Jewish people, when they know Antichrist is there demanding worship in the temple. And the Lord tells them to get out and go to Petra. Revelation 12 and verse 14. Verse 14. But the woman, that's Israel, was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place. In other words, get out there quick, fast. Where she's nourished for a time, times and half a time, That's 3.5 years. Time in the Bible is 1 year. Leviticus and other places. Time, 1 year. Times, 2 years. Half a time, half a year. 3.5 years. That's the final 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. It's divided into two parts, according to Daniel 9. First half is false peace set up by Antichrist. Second half is the day of the Lord and great trouble for Israel and the nations. That's certainly true. So Israel is meant to be going into the wilderness, and that's Petra. That's clear enough. And you can go to Isaiah 63, and it's called Bozra, the Red Rock City. That's Petra, Isaiah chapter 63. We won't go there now. So in the 7 year period of the Great Tribulation, divided into two parts, the first 3.5 years of false peace. During that 3.5 years of so-called peace, the 144,000 witnesses and the two witnesses will be preaching in Jerusalem, and 144,000 around the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel that we proclaim, but the gospel of the kingdom. The king is coming. Get ready. So those are very important. There'll be the 3.5 years of the two witnesses. This is in the book of Revelation, as you know. And we read here, back in 1 Thessalonians, that there will be a time of trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Just going back again to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. If you look in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, back there again, I'll wait for you to find it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. Verse 2, it says, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, unexpected upon the world and Israel. Verse 3, when they say peace and safety, that's the first 3.5 years of false peace of the Great Tribulation, which Antichrist makes an agreement, 7 year agreement with the nation of Israel, and he breaks it halfway through, gets nasty. When they say peace and safety, verse 3, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. They shall not escape. It's one way of getting the Lord getting Israel to repentance and to turn to the Lord in that time. So these are, I'm covering a great deal of ground, and I'm rushing through. But this period of 7 years is divided into two parts. Now look at this. It's all part of the day of the Lord after the church is gone. It's that period of history in the future which is yet to come. We've not arrived there yet. There's been nothing like this in history at all. There's ever been like this. So what I'd like you to do, if you will, to go back, please, to the book of Daniel. The world's looking at the book of Daniel. So let's go back to Daniel. And if you find Daniel, please, if you will. Chapter 7. Daniel, chapter 7. Then we look at chapter 9. But in chapter 7 of Daniel, look at verse 25. Chapter 7, verse 25. This is about the Antichrist, the fourth beast, from verse 23 onwards. 10 kings or 10 rulers set up in verse 24. Verse 25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, that's Israel, and shall intend to change times and law, and the saints will be given into his hand for time, times, and half a time, 3.5 years. 3.5, a time is a year, as I said. Go back to Leviticus and find that. For 3.5 years, there'll be false peace. 3.5 years of terrible times of persecution against the Jewish people. That's certainly what will happen there. So it's going to be a very sad time, of course, for the Jewish people as it happens. Now look in chapter 12 in Daniel. Look at chapter 12. And look at verse 7. You've got that same period of time. chapter 12 of Daniel, verse 7. Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, there shall be for, now look at the time again, this time of real trouble will be for a time, times, and half a time. So when the power of the holy people, that's Israel, has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. The Lord has got to bring Israel to its knees and be persecuted by the Antichrist. It's the only way he can do it, apparently. But it's for 3.5 years, time, times, and half a time. 1 and 2.5. 3.5 years. That's what we have here in the book of Daniel. And you find this exactly the same, please, if you look now into the book of Revelation. Daniel and Revelation go well together, don't they? Right to the last book of the Bible. Chapter 12 of Revelation. Chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. Look in verse 6. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. In verse 5, it speaks about the male child caught up to heaven. That's the ascension of Jesus. Child caught up to God on his throne. Well, that's Jesus, only him. Verse 6. Then the woman, that's Israel, fled into the wilderness, Petra, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her. Now look at here. Feed her for 1,260 days. 30 days in a Jewish month. 40 months. 40 months, 3.5 years. 3 lots of 12 and 6. 3.5 years. 1,260 days. Yep, 40 times 30. So that's the promise. That will be the time of the Great Tribulation, as it certainly split up here. Look in chapter 13, now we're in Revelation. Chapter 13, verse 5. Chapter 13, verse 5. This is about the beast from the sea, the Antichrist. From verse 1. Verse 5. He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and was given authority to continue for 42 months. 42 months. 3.5 years. That's the awful time of the 7-year period, according to Daniel's 70th week. That 7-year period is divided into two parts, as I said. 3.5 years of false peace upon the world and Israel, a delusion. And then the second 3.5 is when there's violent trouble, especially against Israel. Antichrist tries to wipe them out. Satan's man. So they've got it. So at the same time, Israel will be protected in Petra when they flee there. Now, this is all part of the day of the Lord, after the church is gone. It's a period when there's rising up of the Antichrist. He begins a persecution against Israel at the second half of his 7-year covenant. It's in Daniel 9. You can check that out if you like. Daniel 9, 24 to 27 it is. You can find that there. And in that time, false peace, 3.5 years. Terrible times for Israel, day of Jacob's trouble, 3.5 years. That's the 7-year period of the Great Tribulation. Now, when we think about this, the day of the Lord, it covers all this history after the church is gone. Antichrist coming on the scene, making a 7-year agreement with the nation of Israel. 3.5 years of false peace. The other 3.5 years of terrible times of persecution. Then the Lord will come. And that will lead up to Armageddon. Now there's something extra, isn't it? Armageddon develops, and when all nations come against Israel, the Lord will come again. That is the true second coming of Christ. And the first and second beasts, Antichrist, false prophet, cast into the lake of fire. He then begins his judgment on the living nations. This is Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. He divides the sheep who come to him in salvation in the Great Tribulation, and the goats are the rebellious, stubborn, godless nations of the earth. I think that's plain enough. So this time called Satan is going to be put in the pit for 1,000 years, the millennium. See, all that is a period of the day of the Lord. All that future history, after the church is gone, all these events. Antichrist rises, 7-year agreement with Israel. 3.5 years of false peace, then he gets nasty for the second 3.5. He gets all the nations to come and fight against Israel, leading to that Armageddon, and then the Lord will come again. He comes to judge the sheep and goats, nations. Sheep are those, not the church. We're not the church there. Matthew 24:5, nothing to do with the church. It's Israel and the nations. And the Lord judges those who come to know the Lord and protects them when they're saved in the tribulation. Many will be saved in the tribulation. But among the other nations, rebels, godless, disobedient to the Lord, and he then judges them. They're the goat nations. So that's what's going to happen there. And Armageddon develops, as I said, and leading to Christ's second coming and the destruction of the first and second beast. Then the Lord sets up his millennial reign, of course. At the end of the millennium, interesting this, the end of the millennium, there will be the judgment of God upon the rest. And we find here that fire falls from God. Now, I said that there are three specific days in the Bible. The day of Christ, when he comes for us, the church. The day of the Lord, that covers a period of time we're looking at. Terrible times on the earth. Satan hates Israel. And he hates the tribulation saints, not the church. And then you've got the rest of the nations that will come against Israel, of course, we know. So Satan is bound in the pit. We know that. At the end of the millennium, he's released. And he then causes the nations then to rebel against Christ. And then Satan will be put into the lake of fire. So, and the final judgment of the unbelieving dead at the great white throne. All that, you see, leads up is all part of the day of the Lord. A lot happens in that time. Then at the end of that, of course, there is a new heaven and new earth formed in which righteousness dwells. So the day of the Lord coming towards an end covers the events of the close of this age. I'll say that again. The day of the Lord covers events at the close of this age. Luke tells us there will be perplexity among the nations. Now, I'd like you to turn to that. It's back in Luke's Gospel. I think we should look at that, please. Because this will be the picture and the scene in life after we have gone to be with the Lord. Luke 21, please. And look at verse 25. Luke 21 and verse 25. Luke 21, verse 25. This relates to the events in the Great Tribulation, right at the end, just before the Lord comes. Verse 25, Luke 21. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now we'll leave it there and didn't go any further. Oh yeah, we look at verse 26. Men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of things which are coming on the earth, the powers of heaven will be shaken, then the Son of Man comes. Now, perplexity. You got that word there? I'm reading. I think you might have it in the Authorized. I've got the New King James. Perplexity. The Greek word is aporia. A-P-O-R-I-A. Aporia. It means no way through. No answer to the problems of the earth. No one can do anything about all the immense problems coming upon the earth at that particular time in the day of the Lord. That's what it is. Luke 21:25. And of course, when you think about this, when you think about the book of Revelation, in the book of Revelation from chapter 6 onwards, you've got the seal judgments, you've got the trumpet judgments, and then finally the bowl judgments. And this is all God's judging upon the whole world after we've gone. And it includes the way in which the Lord brings Israel back to himself in repentance. Now all these, in a sense, come. And I won't go to the book of Isaiah is really wonderful here. But I won't go into it. In those chapters of Isaiah, chapter 4, chapter 10, chapter 26, chapter 34, 24, and so on. And Jeremiah, just the same as well. But I'd like, if you will, now to go to the book of Joel. Now, there we are. I've said a lot so far. Let's go to the book of Joel. Quite a few verses. Again, I don't think that, generally speaking, that this book of the prophet Joel is really explained much, even in the church midweek Bible studies. It isn't a sermon, really, for a Sunday. But in Joel, and I'd like to look at some of these verses in Joel, in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Just a few. Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1. And look at verse 15. Here you've got the day of the Lord mentioned. And Joel speaks it as being, alas for that day. Verse 15, Joel 1. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. When that day comes. What it means is at hand, I mean, it's coming, but not necessarily soon. But in God's planning, it will come. That's the idea there. Now look in chapter 2. First two verses of chapter 2 of Joel. Verse 1 and 2. Joel 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain, Jerusalem. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, where is at hand. Look at verse 2 in description. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds, thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will ever there be any such after this, even for many successive generations. Now, of course, he's talking about Babylon, but beyond that, way even in our future, he's talking about the terrible times yet to come and the Antichrist getting the nations against Israel. So all that is very, very important, what you've got there. Joel chapter 1 and chapter 2. Now, would you go down in the same chapter, please? Verse 31 and 32. Same chapter, Joel chapter 2. Verse 31 and 32, and I'll read them. Terrible times. I'm glad we're not going to be here. Look at 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. There's a description. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, people are saved in that awful time too. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, because he's going to deliver Israel and the city. And the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls, as from among Israel, and no doubt some among the Gentiles as well. Pretty terrible times coming there, isn't it? Go to chapter 3 with me. Same letter, Joel. Same book of the prophet Joel. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. For behold, in those days and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all the nations when Israel is back in the land and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. That's the valley of the Kidron near Jerusalem, leading further north from the Kidron into the Jehoshaphat valley. And I'll enter into judgment with them there. That's the nations. On account of my people, my heritage Israel, they persecuted Israel and the Jew in the tribulation. God says, I am going to take an account about that. And I'm going to judge the nations from what they did to the Jewish people in that tribulation period. But God says, I don't miss it. I watch it. And I'm going to deal with these nations, which is all of them. They said, in Mount Zion and Jerusalem, I'm going to deliver my people from their enemies. That's the second coming, as we know. Very important book, Joel, you know. Look in verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords. No peace anymore. and your pruning hooks from agriculture. No, he says, you get them into spears. Let the weak stand strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be awakened. Let them come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. That's the Lord judging them. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. We go to the book of Revelation for that one too. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vast overflow, for their wickedness is great. Revelation says he treads the winepress alone. Treads his feet on the grapes. Red grapes, like blood. The winepress is full, for the vast overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord, there it is. Verse 14, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Sun and moon will grow dark, the stars will diminish their brightness, there it is again. The Lord will also roar from Zion. Wow! The Lord is going to shout from the area of Jerusalem. Ooh! And utter his voice from Jerusalem, there it is. Heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people, Israel, that is, and the strength of the children of Israel. Wow! Why is all that? Look in verse 17. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God. I'm going to be dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Jerusalem shall be holy. No aliens shall ever pass through her again. No more strangers. No enemies. That's a prophetic promise. That's all. Even that is at the end of the day of the Lord, before the Lord comes. Most remarkable. Most remarkable. We could look at many other parts, and I won't do it now. Come towards an end. So all these are the events of the last days after the church is gone. The day of the Lord is covering a period of years, at least seven. Perplexity among the nations, trouble, distress, no way through, no answer. World leaders can't do a thing. The devil's having his heyday. Judgments coming on the world. The Lord says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay what you do to my people, Jew, Christian, what you do to Jesus. I will deal with you nations. So that's it, isn't it? So all that, we could look at many other parts, and we could look in Isaiah many places, we can Jeremiah, we carry on in Joel too. And when you think about it, I'm in the book of Isaiah. Again, all this is terrific. I could go to Isaiah in chapter 2, chapter 61, go to Jeremiah 30, Daniel chapter 12. But Israel will be saved out of that day of the Lord. He will come to rescue them and to redeem them as well. Very important. Now, would you find the last book but one in the Old Testament, which is Zechariah, a very important book, to go on beyond Joel to Zechariah. Chapters 12 through to 14 are very important for this. I'll ask you to suggest you that you read those on your own. Zechariah chapter 12 through to 14. I leave you to read that on your own, though, I think. But look in chapter 14, would you? Chapter 14, the last chapter of this wonderful book of prophecy. Look in verse 1. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord, there it is again, is coming. Future. Future to Zechariah, future to us too. And your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem, against Israel, against the Jewish people. City shall be taken. Overwhelming majority of the nation's armies will swarm in there. City shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city will go into captivity in the enemy's hands. But the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Amazing, that. Then the Lord will go forth, verse 3, and fight against those nations. As he fights in the day of battle, there must be something to see, I think. As he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. That's the second coming of the Lord. When Israel is really up against it, Jerusalem has seemed to be fallen, the Lord returns to rescue them. Zechariah is such an important book, and I feel it's neglected too, very much so. where we could look at many scriptures and all these things. But all this and many other places are vivid descriptions in the Old Testament of the day of the Lord. Day of thick darkness, gloom, clouds, devouring fire, earth quaking, heavens trembling, sun and moon dark, stars and ground that shine, wonders in heaven and the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke, sun darkened, moon turns to blood, great and terrible day of the Lord. What a terrible time that's going to be. I'm so glad we're not going to be here. Praise the Lord, we're not going to be here. Now, we're in Zechariah. Now, the book of Zephaniah, I want you to go to that one. Just before Zechariah. We've got Haggai. Before Haggai, you've got Zephaniah. Zechariah, then go back to Haggai, go back before that to Zephaniah. Remarkable book. It's a book of judgments, actually, and no wonder people don't read it. In Zephaniah, if you go there, please. You got Zephaniah? Look in chapter 1, and verses 7 and 8. Be silent in the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord, there it is at hand, it's nearby, though not immediate. Up to the Lord when it comes. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, he has invited his guests, and shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, or punish the princes and the king's children, and such who are foreign apparel, strange clothing. In the same day I will punish and those who leap over the threshold before the mouth of his sons. So in other words, this is the day of the Lord's judgments. It's the day of his vengeance upon the nations. Go to verse 14. Verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. Now look at the description here. Zephaniah 1:14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities, against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, verse 17, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. The blood shall be poured out like dust, and the flesh like refuse. I'm so glad we're not going to be here as a church. Now, I've been spending a long time on this tonight, because this is rarely ever mentioned in the church. I'm not surprised. Look at the descriptions of judgment. Bloodthirst, isn't it, really? No wonder it's not mentioned there at all. So, I could look at many other scriptures that support this. I won't do it now, of course. But look in chapter 2. Chapter 2, 1 to 3, and we're coming to an end. Zephaniah chapter 2. Gather yourselves together, yes, gather together, O you undesirable nation. Before the decree is issued, before the day passes the chapter, because the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you. Because the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Seek the Lord, O you meek of the earth, who upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Maybe that you may will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Some will be saved in the tribulation period. Like here. That's the day of God's vengeance, the day of the Lord's wrath. So all this description here, I could go through many, many scriptures. I got listed here. I won't do it now. We could do that. But I want to finish, please, right at the end of the New Testament to 2 Peter. And we'll finish there. 2 Peter. Right at the end of the New Testament, please. 2 Peter. Look in chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, look in verse 4 to begin with. But if God did not spare the angels who sinned, that's when they got involved with the women back in Genesis, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in flood on the world and the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward will lead a godly life. I delivered righteous Lot, verse 7, was a person with a filthy conduct of the wicked. And you got the description here. And in verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and trials and tests, to preserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and so on. That's what it is here. Pretty grim, isn't it? That's pretty grim there. Look at verse 17. No, we leave that alone for now, I think. But here we have quite some difficulty. But how should Christians live in the light of that? In the light of all that? Now, we shan't see it, but it's in the Bible. It's so that after we've gone, hallelujah, we're not going to be in it. So would you also please look at the end of chapter 3 of 2 Peter. How should we be living in the light of all these events, although we shan't see them, but in the light of all these events? Look at the end of chapter 3. Look in verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, 17. You therefore, beloved, writing to Christians, since you know these things beforehand, and we have tonight, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Don't lose your enthusiasm for Christ. Don't lose your steadfastness. Being led away with the error of the wicked, no. But, here it is, this is for the Christian in the light of all this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in honesty, grow in humility, grow in holiness unto the Lord. Ultimately, to him be glory, both now and forever, and amen. Well, though I could look at many other scriptures, but our time is gone tonight. So that is the day of the Lord. I thank the Lord we're not going to be here. These are terrible times, and the Lord is reaping his judgment upon the nations for their godless rebellion against him. So I trust that being a little helpful tonight, and on an unusual theme, I agree, the day of the Lord. And that's what we've been looking through in that section of Thessalonians. Could we just look at those verses again? In 1 Thessalonians, verses 1 and 2, just to finish off, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, the first two verses, which is all we did look at it tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2 again. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. He says, you already know, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. It's coming ahead of us. We shan't see it. The church is going home to glory first. But it's coming on the world, coming on the nations. It's coming like a thief in the night when they don't expect it. But that's the truth. You know, these are not happy messages. It's not a message that says this is joyful. Well, it's just joyful with a Christian. But it's sobering thinking. I wonder why. That's probably the reason why people don't preach it. And they don't teach it, because it's not good. It's pretty time of God's vengeance. Bear in mind that we're going to be set free. We shall not experience the wrath of God. We shall be delivered from it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. You already know those. We shall be delivered from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. The Lord is good to his redeemed people. That's a hope, and that's a certain joy that we have. We'll end on that happy note. Amen to that.